Please join me in Philippians chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 3 through verse 6. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Back in 1962, Dr. D. James Kennedy, minister down in Coral Gables, Florida, began an evangelistic program some of you may have heard of. It was called Evangelism Explosion. And conversations with individuals about their salvation began by asking two questions. First question, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you can say you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? The second question suppose that you were to die today and stand before God and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? I give those two questions to you. How would you respond to these two questions? If you were to die today, and God asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? Or if you come to the place to know that if you do die today, you know for certain you would go to heaven. I hope you have a positive response to both of those questions. Now, I'd like to take these two questions and kind of use them in the sermon, and I will start with the second one. The second question is, why should God let you into his heaven? Well, of course, the answer is, because Jesus died for my sins, and I stand here in his name, and the redemption that he has given me. It is nothing that I have done, but what he has done for me. If God does ask you that question when you get there, give him that answer, okay? Nothing, not me, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to concentrate more on the first question. Because the answer to the first question is what brings us the joy and encouragement that I spoke of last week. Again, the second question, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you can say you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? Do you know for certain if you died today that you would go to heaven? Or as I have entitled this sermon, are you sure of your salvation? Are you sure of your salvation? Now, let's see what Paul has for us, help us to respond to that question as we sort of unfold these things. In verse 6, Paul states this passage many of you probably have memorized. He says, I am sure of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you. Well, what is that good work that God the Father has begun in you? What is that good work? Well, it is the work to make you into the image of his Son. It is the work of sanctification that God has begun in us. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 35, asks simply, what is sanctification? Because that is the work that God the Father is doing in us, sanctifying us. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man, the whole person, after the image of God. We are being renewed. This is the work God has begun in us. We are being renewed in the whole person after the image of God, being made new in the image of Jesus Christ, God. That is the good work that God the Father has begun in you, to make you, to make me into the image of Jesus Christ. However, this work of sanctification, this work of making us new, making us into the image of Jesus Christ, that work of sanctification cannot begin until salvation, justification. One must be saved in Christ Jesus before one can be made into the image of Christ Jesus. So again, are you sure of your salvation? Because that point of salvation is necessary for us to be then made into the image of Jesus Christ. And this is a most crucial question because it has to do with our eternal destiny. We must be sure of our state before God Almighty. If we are truly saved but lack the assurance, then we have the possibility of living in that constant anxiety of worrying, of wondering. That there are many who teach that you must be saved again and again. Well, if you backslide, then you must be saved again and again. Well, the scriptures don't teach that. You are saved one time. Now, you can falter in your faith, but salvation is yours. But if you're not assured of that salvation, then times could be very anxious for you. On the other hand, if we think we are saved, which I believe the church is filled with those who believe they are, but not actually redeemed, then there's going to be that rude awakening when you do stand before the Father, and He says to you, "I never knew you. Depart from me." So we must be careful not to rest on a false assurance. We need to know. Sometimes I'll ask folks, tell me about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I go to church, been in church all my life. My mom, my dad, my grandparents, all in church. I said, that's not an answer. That doesn't answer the question. Tell me who Jesus is to you. We need to know. And then Paul goes further. If God has indeed given you His salvation in Jesus Christ and has begun that work of sanctifying you, there is more. There is a promise that Paul gives us here. Reading verse 6 again, he says, "I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." On that day that our Lord returned, those who have been gifted with this beautiful gift of salvation will be made complete. We will be made into what our Lord desires. We will be like Jesus Christ. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? That's hard to imagine. But on that day, as Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 8, we will have our bodies. We will be in that glorified state. So if you have answered that question of, are you sure of your salvation? Yes, I am. Then God has begun that work in you. So hear this promise that what He has begun in you, He will finish. He will finish. The work that God began is a work that God will complete. And this is where we begin as we respond further to this question, are you sure of your salvation? We begin with God. We begin with God. To be assured of our salvation, we must first understand God's role in our salvation. It is God who begins the work. As Paul states, He who began a good work. It is God who began a good work in you. The scriptures teach that salvation is entirely the work of God, not of man. I can't work hard enough to earn salvation. It is a gift. That's why we call it grace. 1 Peter chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through Jesus Christ." God the Father, according to His mercy, He has caused us to be born again. It is God, according to his mercy, that caused us. It is God who opened our hearts. It is God who opened my heart so that the Holy Spirit might come in and renew and begin that work of sanctification. It is God who opened my heart through the Holy Spirit that he could come in with that beautiful words of salvation, that beautiful words of the gospel, and bring me to that saving knowledge. I had nothing to do with it. The only thing I brought to my salvation was the sin that needed to be forgiven. And that work of God in salvation was decreed to those who were saved before the beginning of time. Before the time of creation, before God ever spoke a word of creation, he named you to be one of his. And then put that redemptive history in place so that Jesus Christ would come on that day. He would die on that day. He would resurrect on that day. And the Holy Spirit would bring salvation to you on that day that he had appointed. God the Father decreed. The Son completed the work of substitutionary atonement on the cross. The Holy Spirit brought that completed work to you at just the right time that the Father decreed. So as we begin to answer that question, are we sure of our salvation? We begin with God and understanding his role in our saving. If God desires you to be saved, you will be saved. Next, to be assured of our salvation is to know that salvation is accompanied by evidence, bearing fruit. Now, that evidence may be greater in some and less in others. Some are more mature, some less mature, etc., etc. But there should be fruit revealing the work of salvation. James teaches this. You have faith and I have works, he writes in his second chapter. He says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Meaning that you can see that I have faith in Jesus Christ by my works, by my action, by fruit being born out of a life following Jesus Christ. As I look at some Christians, and some may look at me and kind of scratch their head going, are you sure? By the lifestyle we live, by the words we use, by the relationships we keep, and how we treat those relationships, how we conduct our lives. Works are not to secure salvation. We cannot, as I've said, we cannot secure our salvation through works. But works are an evidence of salvation. The evidence that Paul sees here in the Philippian believers that he calls attention to, he says, their participation in the gospel from the first day until now. As he's getting stories, remember Paul's in prison here as he's writing this, but as communications come to him, he hears of their work in the ministry. And so he hears of the evidence of their salvation. He remembered them and prayed joyfully for them as he heard of their works, as he heard of them working in the ministry. It's almost like a proud father as he looks upon his children and see them working, see them productive in life, seeing them doing good in life. Paul is like that proud father here, hearing of the work in the Philippian church, and he knows of their salvation. And as we look at this evidence, let's dig a little bit deeper. It's not simply being busy doing things. There are particular things Paul recognized in their life that the evidence that these folks were truly saved. First of all, the evidence is a desire to be in fellowship with God. The first evidence we should see in a person's life is that they desire to be in fellowship with God. We desire to get up in the mornings and be in communion with God through our quiet times. You may do it at other times of the day, mornings for most of us. Partnership in the gospel begins with a fellowship with God. Spending time with God comes before spending time with others in the ministry. You cannot give away what you don't have. So we must first have that communion with God before we have that communion with our brothers and sisters. And we can go further. Christianity is not simply knowing our doctrine. The Reformed Church has been accused by many, and some rightly so, that we are steeped in our doctrine. We know what we believe. But yet we live such a non-evangelistic life that no one knows it. No one sees it. We know what we believe, but we dare share it with no one else. That can't be true. Shouldn't be true. It's not simply knowing our doctrine, but an evidence in the fellowship with God is coming to know Jesus Christ in a personal, intimate way. Christianity is about a relationship with a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must spend time in fellowship with the Lord, and that desire to be in fellowship with the Lord is a validation of our salvation. Secondly, an evidence of our salvation can be seen in our desire to be with God's people. As we said last week, fellowship within the body of Christ is one of those foundational elements of joy and encouragement. That's why we miss this so much this summer. It's a vital part of who we are. It's also a powerful proof of our salvation if I desire to be with God's people. We look to the Philippian church. They are working together in partnership with Paul. Paul is writing to the church as a body of believers, not a single person. He sees them in fellowship. And we learn from the text here that he's not writing to a single singular person, but all of this is plural. Remembrance of you, plural, all of you in fellowship. Prayer of mine for all of you, it's plural. They are in fellowship together. They desire to be in fellowship together, which is an evidence of their salvation. We desire fellowship with other believers. We are commanded to meet together. As I referred to earlier, Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not forget meeting together for the encouragement of each other. We're commanded to do this, but we want to do this. We want to be together. We want to be with our brothers and sisters. We want to be with God's people. And this desire is a proof of our salvation. And finally, one who is saved lives their life in light of the Lord's second coming. Paul says, as I read verse 6 again, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. At the day. The day of our Lord's second coming. One who is saved by grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will live life looking in great anticipation for the coming of our Lord. It should not be something we dread. Now, we refer to that second coming many times as a day of judgment. But let us be clear. Let us be clear. That day of judgment, that second coming of our Lord, will not be a day of judgment for the believer. You have already been judged and found guilty. Therefore, we need the redemption of Jesus Christ. And we've understand that guilt. We've understand our place as sinners. And we've pleaded to the Lord Jesus Christ, I accept you as Lord and Savior. Now, we will have to give an account. But in my heart, I believe that giving an account of all the sinfulness of my life will be, again, pictured in my mind. Understand every sin I confess to, giving an account, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ just mounts greater and greater and greater and greater. Just overcoming, covering over every one of those sinful traits I had, every one of those sinful acts, every one of those sinful words. And then he'll say, well done. Come on in the house. But for those who do not know Jesus Christ, that will be a day of judgment. And as we read in Colossians, those who are believers will actually sit with Jesus Christ in judgment over the world. That I don't have quite figured out. But can you imagine hearing these words? Depart from me. I never knew you. An assurance of our salvation is living a life with the same mindset that the Apostle John expressed in his final chapter of the book of Revelation. The entire 22nd chapter of Revelation is speaking about Jesus coming again. Jesus says, surely I am coming soon. And John's reply is, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. John's actually praying. He's living in anticipation for the Lord's return. And he prays, Lord, come now, even today. Let us not finish this day. I pray we do as well. Live in anticipation of our Lord's return, not in dread, not in fear, but anxious. As I've said, I don't know whether I'd rather be here and see the Lord Jesus Christ come through that eastern sky and take us up, or be with him in that eastern sky coming to take up the church. I'll take either. But living in that anticipation is an assurance of our salvation. Because if we're not saved, we don't want to see him. We don't want to see him. Yes, our salvation is a work of God in our lives, and what God begins, he finishes. However, we are not to be passive in this. It is God who does it, but we are not to be passive. Just sat back and say, okay, do me, God. No. Turn over with me to chapter 2, verse 12. Excuse me. God is at work. And as Paul says, he who began a good work will do it to completion. But we are also to be co-workers with him, with the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 of chapter 2 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my present, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, many folks will stop right there. And they will preach and teach that you have to work out your salvation. You have to work at it. That's not what Paul is writing. Finish with verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Yes, we are to work along with God because it is God who began the work in me. But I am to do the things using those gifts of grace that's been given to us. Prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship, etc. We are to be involved in those things so that we grow. The Holy Spirit grows our faith. An assurance of salvation can be seen as we desire to grow in our faith, to know our Lord more deeply, to be about his business until he does return, so that on that day I will hear those beautiful words that I just made reference to. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's happiness. We are to work along with the Holy Spirit in our sanctification, in our growing, in our being made into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Justification, salvation, that's all God. Got nothing to do with that. But from that point of salvation on, in sanctification, the Holy Spirit works in us and leads us, and we are to work along with the Holy Spirit doing those things that will grow and mature our faith. And please know, as Paul writes, he will work it to completion. You will be perfect one day. You will be perfect one day. My mama's wish will come true. I will be perfect one day. Although I think she thinks I am anyway. If you can see how God sovereignly has called you to himself and you see the evidence of his working through your participation in the gospel, then you can be confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And on that day of Jesus Christ's return, you can stand before him with your head held high and say, I am yours. I am yours. So, are you sure of your salvation? I pray you are. Now, for some, this might be an unsettling type sermon, because you might be sitting there going, I don't know. Well, you can know. You can know. You should know. Because of being assured of your salvation when you haven't been, it will change your life. It will change your life. And I want everyone who is a believer to know for sure the answer to that first question. If you were to die tonight, if you were to die today, as sad as that would be for us, but if you were to die today, do you know for sure that heaven will be your home? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for that assuring thought, that assuring fact, that assurance of salvation can be known. And so I pray it is known by all these here today. But if there's one here among us who does not quite have that assurance, they have not made that confession, not made that profession of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, then Holy Spirit, come now. Invade that old, ugly, dark heart and make it new. And Holy Spirit, let them know for a fact. Let them know for a fact that you are their Lord and you will work out your sanctification in them to its completion. And for those who do know of that salvation, who do know for sure of that wonderful gift, then Holy Spirit, freshen them once again. Warm their very spirit this morning. Revive them as we've been praying and singing about. Let them know truly, truly, truly that you are there and they are yours. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.